ask you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Before I read from Hebrews chapter 12, just want to mention that, like, we are in this new year, and we don't really know what the year holds in store for us, of course. And usually what happens in a New Year's message in the first Sunday of the new year is that we have a message that we're really looking forward to this new season that's upon us, because we just closed out the old year, and now we are ushering in the new year, and we all have all sorts of hopes and good thoughts about the year that's to come. But the reality is that we still have this overhanging cloud above us. We all know it. It's all still there. We have this cloud that's hanging, this dark cloud that seems to be looming over top of us. I don't mean to sound like I'm presenting a downer today. I'm just presenting the obvious. We all know it. We're going to read from Hebrews 12, as I mentioned. And in Hebrews, they are also living under a dark cloud, the churches. To give you an idea of how dark that cloud is, Hebrews was written in about the mid-60s AD, so about 30 years after Jesus died and was resurrected. And the church was suffering some persecution under Emperor Nero. You see, Nero came into power in 54 AD, and Nero was well-liked at first up until 64 AD, when the great Roman fire happened in the city of Rome, and about two-thirds of the city burned down to the ground. Nero was not in the city at that time, and so people were starting to look at him like he had something to do with this fire. And depending on who you listen to, he started blaming Christians. Some say he didn't really blame Christians. But nevertheless, out of that fire, and Christians were blamed some way or another, and so they were being looked at with sketchy eyes, you might say. They were being looked at with derision. They were being blamed. And henceforth, they were being persecuted. And persecution didn't mean that they couldn't go to the grocery store to shop without a mask on. Persecution meant that they spent time in a jail cell underneath the Colosseum before being called up to face the lions or to face a gladiator and subsequently die. It's believed that both the apostles Peter and Paul died under Nero's reign. And so you see this persecution that's happening. And so you can easily see from that point that Christians were leaving the faith for fear. They were scared for their lives, and rightly so. They were just living in severe fear. So they're living under a dark cloud as well. And the whole book of Hebrews is written to the Jewish Christians living in Rome at the time. The Jews took up quite a big segment of the population in Rome at the time. The Jewish Christians were meeting in houses. And so it was it was considered to be a sect of the Jewish religion, if you were looking at it from the outside. And if you were called a Christian, that meant that you were probably part of the people that set the city on fire. So there you go. That's where we're at now. And so the whole book of Hebrews calls people to be true to the faith, to not leave Jesus Christ. Because, and the writer of Hebrews, we don't know who it is. Some say it's the Apostle Paul, but there's others that say, no, it can't be the Apostle Paul. But the whole book of Hebrews points in very logical fashion to Jesus being the one that all Scripture points to. So the whole Jewish faith, then, all of the Jewish faith points to Jesus Christ. And that's what Hebrews is all about. And it's within that that we read our text now. Just a few verses from chapter 12, starting at verse 14. Very practical advice. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit his blessing, he was rejected. Even though he sought the blessing with tears, he could not change what he had done. And that's as far as we'll read. And so I'd like to go through this passage again, pick it apart a little bit to help us understand what they were going through, help us understand what we're going through, and hopefully it'll all work out in the end. So here we go. From verse 14, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Make every effort to live at peace with everyone and be holy. So there's two things there. Make every effort to live at peace with everyone. So for the Hebrews, the ones who originally read this, they are living in fear. They are living in fear for their lives, and it's likely that they were lashing out at other people. They are already looked down upon by other people, and it's more than likely that they are lashing out, that they are being harsh towards other people. Even though the government, through Nero and the centurions are all coming, and the soldiers are all coming to their place to look for them, even though they're being hunted down, they are to live at peace with everyone, according to the writer of Hebrews. Living at peace with everyone, because Jesus did. And so if you read earlier in chapter 12, you'll read that Jesus is the pioneer and perfecter of their faith. That Jesus is the one who suffered great anguish at the cross. So they have really nothing to worry about because Jesus has already gone through that. He's already done that. And they need to be, as far as it depends on them, they need to live at peace with everyone. Which is a really huge ask, isn't it? It's really something, it's really a big thing to ask. Not only that, but they're also to remain holy, set apart by God, set apart for God. And there's a reason for that. And the writer of Hebrews follows that. He says, remain holy so that because no one will be able to see the Lord unless you're holy. In other words, don't conform to the pattern of this world, as I read in the assurance of pardon in Romans 12. Don't conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, be holy for God. Be set apart for Him so that others may see who you are through Him. Or who he is through you. How's that work for us today? Live at peace with everyone. We live in a hard time. We live in difficult times where nobody knows what's right and what's wrong anymore. pretty much. We don't know what's truth and what's a lie anymore, pretty much. And yet, we're to live at peace with everyone. Now, I was hesitant about what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say it. You may have heard about certain churches that have opened up at Christmas time against COVID rules. In their rebellion, they're not living at peace with everyone. Instead, they're putting a black eye on the faith, in my opinion. And I don't want to pick on anybody. And I see what they're trying to do. But I see a problem. Because if you open up your doors to 100 or more people when you're, if we were to do that today here and be defiant against the law, then we would be in real trouble. It says in Romans 13 these words: let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for which there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Again, the Apostle Paul is talking there. It's saying you need to live under the rules of government. And so if the governing authorities say you need to do this, then you need to do this. And don't think for a minute that God won't work around that problem. And so are those churches that open up and that continue to open up, defiant against the law, are they standing up for justice for God? I'd say they're more standing up for themselves. Maybe for freedom of religion or whatever, whatever they want to call it. But I think it has to do more with themselves. You may agree with me, you may disagree with me. I'm open to comments. Just send them off to Mandy, and Mandy will get all the comments, and then she'll share them all on Facebook. Just give them to Mandy. Mandy will be my filter. So I don't think that they're... Under our dark cloud of existence right now, I don't think that we're really living, many of us are living in peaceful. But that's nothing new throughout the church. People have been putting black eyes on the faith all the time, including in Hebrews. To be set apart by God, for God, for us, simply means putting Christ first in everything that you do. This is good advice for us, beginning a new year. Put Christ first in everything. If you are holy and set apart for God, by God, for God, then you won't be going against what God wants. You just won't. Because you are looking forward. God is in the forefront of your minds all the time. Moving on in the text. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God. It's sort of a difficult way of saying what the writer of Hebrews already says in chapter 3. He said, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. See to it that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Again, following what naturally would follow from being holy, you follow that you're not going to turn away from God. Not, no matter what. So in this difficult time that they're living in, that the Hebrews are living in, they're continuing to be persecuted. The writer of Hebrews is saying, just stick with it. Keep the faith. Don't run away from that. And then he gives a really good example of why you shouldn't run away from that through the example of Esau. The writer of Hebrews in the book in chapter 11, the chapter before the one that we just read, is talking about all the heroes of the faith. All the heroes. He's just said, hero this, like Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and he keeps on going, just nailing, hero, 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 hero. And he gets to this point now, and he says, don't be like Esau. Don't be like Esau, Jacob's brother. Jacob was a hero of the faith. Esau is his older twin brother. Don't be like him. Why? Esau sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son for a bowl of soup. If you recall the story, Jacob, yes, Jacob is a deceiver. Yes, he is. And Esau was the big, brawny, burly hunter guy. And Esau comes in from hunting, and he's starving. And Jacob goes up to him. He says, well, I got this bowl of soup, lentil soup or whatever, some stew or whatever it is. And Esau says, give me that soup. I need it. I'm starving. I'm starving so much I could die. Give me that soup. Jacob says, I will do it, but first hand over your birthright. Esau says, fine, have my birthright. Esau gave it all away. He had it in his hands. It was his to have. He was the firstborn. It was all his. And he blew it. He blew it by giving it all away for a trinket. And what the writer of Hebrews is saying today to the Hebrews is, hold in there. You don't want to give up eternal life, even if it costs you your own life right now. Don't give up that grand vision of what it's going to be like unless, not at all. Don't give it up. Hold on to it. Hold on tight to it, even if it demands your own life. Us too, we see so many things that people are just sort of, well, maybe we'll just sort of walk away from the faith. Maybe we'll just sort of, in this dark time, well, we can't meet as a church anyway. Our lives seem, we couldn't meet for all this time. Now our lives seem to be going pretty well, I guess. Do we really need it? Do we really want it? What you're giving up, and it's not just the church, but it's the faith. If you give up your faith, you're not going to be able to get it back. That's what he says. Because you're rejecting what God has given you. And if you reject what God gives you, all the crying that you do at that time when you're asked for it back is not going to help. And so these are all lessons to learn. The bitter root comes into play in He says, make sure that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble. Well, the bitter root is all that murmuring that happens when somebody doesn't like what's going on and they say, well, you know what, I think I'm stepping out. I'm stepping away from whatever, say the faith, the church, whatever. I'm stepping away. And they justify themselves. They say, I'm stepping away because of these reasons. And they don't just... I've very rarely seen it where people just get up and leave. People get up and talk to everybody else first. And then they leave. That's the bitter root. That's the bitter root that they're talking about. The bitter root of listening to the murmuring and to the undermining of what God is doing here and bringing it all, causing other people to fall away. And that's what he's saying here. Don't defile other people. Don't let that bitter root grow up into anything. Don't let that murmuring happen. These are all good words for us to have, all good advice to have at the beginning of the year when we're under the dark cloud, as they were under the dark cloud. Yes, we're looking at this year like it may be something that's really great. But back, we need to be careful that we don't steer to the right or to the left. You know, I'm going to give you an idea, a mental picture of this, what I was thinking anyway. I hope it works. Several years ago, when the kids were still living at home, we were on our way back from a Christmas gathering in Georgetown to Collingwood, where we lived. And it was, 7 or 8 o'clock at night. It was storming to beat the band. And you know those storms, right? You know when you're traveling and the snowflakes are really thick, it's about -2 or -3 or something like that. Snowflakes are really thick and they're all coming at you, shining in the lights, like as you're traveling down the road. And they're all, the snowflakes are coming at you, sort of mesmerizing you, sort of causing you to lose your concentration. And it's dark and you don't want to stop on the road because you really won't get going again if you do. And you got to keep your eyes focused on what's ahead, because if you don't, you know, you might run into somebody else or something else. You don't want to stop because you don't know if there's anybody behind you that could run back into back of you. And it's in those times where we really need to focus. We need to focus on what's ahead of us, on the drive that's ahead of us, on the thing that's right before us, and keep on moving. It's very unlike a nice dry summer day where you can look around on your drive and see what the farmers are doing out in the fields. Hey, his corn's ready to come off. Hey, look at that, his wheat's ready. Or, wow, that's a pretty poor looking crop. It's very unlike that. Two different driving situations. But it illustrates it well. In a stormy, dark time in which we are right now, it may be best for us to keep our eyes on the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, Jesus. Just fix our eyes on Christ. We may come up with all these ideas and plans of how to make everything great. And that would have been good for a different time and maybe good again. To quote somebody that I've grown to really like over the years, I'm just laying this down. You don't have to pick it up. Thank you, George, by the way. If you're watching this, George, you don't have to pick it up. But to keep our eyes, to keep it simple and to keep our eyes focused on Christ in this dark time is probably the best thing to do. So let's do that. Let's do that in our own lives, in our own personal lives. Let's do that in the life of the church as we gather together. Let's do that everywhere we go, taking these words of today's text with us, but also taking the words that are found in verses 1 and 2 of Hebrews chapter 12. Same chapter, just verses 1 and 2. Familiar words for many of us. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who has the most powerful position ever, and we'll be okay in this year of 2021. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to open your word again, to hear the words that are given through it. And we pray, Lord, that we'll be able to walk away from this understanding how you are working in our lives. And may we, Lord, this year just seek you out. Just keep it simple. Not try to make a big hubbub about it, but just keep it simple, because we need to focus. And help everyone in our midst, members of the church and outside of the members of our church as well, Lord, help everyone that's watching, that's partaking in worship today, understand what you are doing, so that we could live this life focusing on you, being set apart by you, being set apart for you. In Jesus we pray. Amen. We'll sing, "Make Me a Channel of Your Peace."